Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Title of our message this morning, would you read it aloud with me? Giving with a cheerful heart. Based on 2 Corinthians, let me read the appropriate verse. Paul wrote, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and supplies bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. I invite you this morning to turn to your handout and follow the sermon outline as we consider our theme, giving with a cheerful heart. Some time ago, before moving to our current home, I was planting some grass seed in a few bare spots in our yard back in Alberta. The summer lawn had sapped and just zapped the life out of the grass, and there were a number of bare spots about 1 foot square that I dug up the dirt in and was going to plant some grass seed there. Now, if I were stingy with that grass seed and just carefully counted out a few, maybe 10 little seeds on that square foot of land, what would have happened? Well, I might have gotten a few grass seeds growing up like a few wisps of hair, sort of like on top of my head. On the other hand, if I generally sowed the seed and spread the seed and watered it as I did, what could I look forward to? Great results had happened and the lawn began to look like a golf course. Now, this might be a one way of describing Paul's opening thoughts in the verses of today's text. Paul is telling the Christians at Corinth about their Christian giving. He says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you'll reap generously. Let's explore that thought a little more deeply today. We're reminded, as we are in this month of October, our stewardship focus month, that God is the source of all that we have. Giving originates with Him. And He has made us stewards or managers to take care of all the blessings He's given us. We really have two choices, like the children with the balloon. Keep them all to ourselves. You should have seen Elizabeth's face. As soon as I gave her to her, her eyes told me, I got to share it with the rest of them here. God says that He has showered His grace upon us, and we're to share that grace. Listen again to what St. Paul wrote. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Notice the word grace used here. It's through God's grace that we have all that we have. Grace is the undeserved love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, given to undeserved sinners like you and me. Now, Martin Luther captures well the idea of God's abundant grace in his explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed found in the Small Catechism. Let me read these words to you. Listen carefully. Luther wrote, I believe that God has made me and all creatures. He has given me body and soul, eyes and ears, all my members, my reason, all my senses, and still takes care of them. He gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land and animals, all that I have. He richly and daily provides me with everything I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me against all evil. Why does He do this? All that he does, he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. That's grace. Luther concludes, for all of this, it is my joyful duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. And Scripture tells us that God has created us to reflect his pattern of giving in our lives. Just as you and I would scatter seeds abroad to see a big lawn grow, God scatters abroad his gifts to everybody. God is not stingy with his gifts. And for this, we're thankful. And a thankful heart is a happy and a trusting heart. And a trusting heart is full of praise. A trusting heart is full of thanks. A trusting heart gives in return. When yours is a trusting heart, God can accomplish great things through you. You see, God is never looking for a forced giver. God is looking for a joyful giver. He wants us to delight in our giving of our time and our talents and, yes, our treasures. One example I will bring to you is L. Kraft. He's the head of the Kraft Cheese Corporation. Maybe you've heard of Kraft Dinners. L. Kraft, for many years, has been giving approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes. And let me quote what he said. L. Kraft said, "The only investment I ever made in my life which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money I've given to the work of my Lord." L. Kraft found purpose and joy in his giving. Now we find another example of joyful giving in the life of a man named Zacchaeus, a man we find in Luke chapter 19. Zacchaeus is one of my heroes. Why? Because Zacchaeus was short of stature. Zacchaeus was a short man who was a tax collector, who was despised by his fellow Jewish people. Zacchaeus had heard about this Jesus. And one day Jesus came to Zacchaeus' hometown. Zacchaeus wanted to see him, but he couldn't see him over the crowd. So he climbed up a sycamore tree. He probably climbed the tree not just to see Jesus, but also because he didn't want to run into any people from whom he's ripped off their taxes. But when Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree, he said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree, for I must come to your house today and share supper with you." And there, in his own home, in the presence of the loving and forgiving and caring Jesus, Zacchaeus experienced the unconditional mercy and grace of God. And it changed his heart. And Zacchaeus said in response to this, "I will gladly give half of what I own. And I will reimburse anybody four times the amount I cheated them out of their taxes." Now, somebody might suggest Zacchaeus just did this because he felt guilty. But Zacchaeus said, "I will gladly do this." Who gives gladly out of guilt? Zacchaeus had a thankful heart. And in response to the love and mercy of Christ, he responded. And here's one of the key points of the sermon, and you're going to hear this point at least four times in this sermon. If you forget everything else about the sermon, it's on your outline in bold. Here it is. The love of Jesus changes our hearts and empowers us to be givers and not just takers. One of the characteristics of Christian giving is that it's done cheerfully with thanksgiving. Paul writes in the same letter, "Each man should give what he's decided to do in his own heart, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, because God loves a cheerful giver, and your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Paul tells us here that Christian giving is a commitment that starts in our heart and it results with joy and thanksgiving. Now, my friends, And I'm glad Stephen shared the words he shared. I almost thought, well, we heard a good sermon, why another one? But Gretchen would be upset if I didn't bring a sermon today, so here we are. You know, there are pitfalls in our giving and difficulties we have to be careful of. We are never to be forced into giving, nor should we ever give out of guilt. The Bible says it this way, we should never give under compulsion, which means under pressure. Rather, we're to give joyfully and deliberately. That is, after giving prayerful thought to this, we are to ask ourselves this question: how in my giving can I best thank and give praise and honor to my Lord Jesus for all he's done for me? Again, the love of Jesus changes our hearts and empowers us to be a giver and not just a taker. We want to express our love for Jesus. We want to show our joy. Again, as Scripture says, God loves the cheerful giver. Let me give you an example. And gentlemen, if you're married, listen carefully. I'm talking to myself here. It's your anniversary. And you, the husband, take your wife out to a nice restaurant. The two of you are enjoying a nice romantic time together. When she looks deeply into your eyes, Brad, Jan looks into your eyes and says, I want to thank you for this time together. Carol, you say to Alan, I want to thank you for this time together. It's so thoughtful of you. And then, gentlemen, you say to her, yeah, it's no big deal. I'm just doing my duty. What do you think her response will be? Either she'll look at you with glaring eyes, and you know those eyes, or maybe her eyes will fill with tears. She wants to see you giving with love and joy. My friends, it's the same with your Heavenly Father. But it's not an easy thing, is it, to keep our motives pure in our giving? Think of the many possibilities for giving, for the reasons we give. Out of duty. Sense of responsibility. Blah, 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 blah. Guilt. Self-satisfaction. Public praise or acknowledgement. Reward. The reality for us Christians is that we're constantly at war with our sinful natures. It's truly impossible because of our sinful natures on our own to be holy in our giving. But there's the other side of the coin, isn't there? Yes, there is. I'm talking about the reluctance to be a giver. Somebody has once told me, in fact, when I first heard this, I wasn't sure I heard what they said right. They said, Pastor, did you know that there's a plumbing problem in the church? What? Yeah, there's a plumbing problem in the entire Christian church today. The pipes are plugged up. The pipes are plugged up with my-ism and me-isms. You see, as people of God, we're blessed with resources with God, but sometimes we're confused with why he's given them to us. He's blessed us beyond what we need, and we might think, perhaps it's so I can have a bigger car. Perhaps it's so I can have a longer vacation. Perhaps it's so I can have a newer house. Now, God is not against any of us enjoying these things, unless by making them our gods, we are not first seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're simply using what God gives us for our own selfish purpose, and the pipes are plugged up with my and me-ism. A heart that hoards is not a happy heart. It's not a trusting heart. At the end of the day, the heart that hoards is poorer, not richer. Now, if we pay attention, the principles of giving apply in many areas of our life. Today, I'm just applying them to marriage. Our marriages will not be successful. I'm speaking to men and to women. Your marriage will not be successful if you are only on the receiving end. Your marriage is a success when you're giving love and devotion to your spouse. Many marriage counselors will tell us this. And by the way, when couples come in to get married here, we spend at least 2-hour sessions together getting ready for not just the day of marriage, but for their wedding life together. We talk about these things. Marriage counselors will tell us, all factors being equal, the people who are happiest in their marriages are those who focus on giving rather than taking. But here's the problem. By nature, by our sinful nature, we are takers, not givers. We don't have the strength to break the hold that sin has on us. So what are we to do? And where are we to turn? To Jesus. Only to Jesus. To God's amazing grace in Jesus. Of all the examples of God's grace, the one that is at the center is His example of giving. His giving His only Son into the world to die to pay for our sins. When we could do nothing about our sinful condition, God gave His very best. He gave the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross to pay for our sins. The greatest giving the world has ever seen is in the giving at the cross. For God so loved the world, He gave. And as we, every Sunday in this place, and daily wherever we are in life, look to the cross of Jesus and fix our eyes and hearts there, we will be given once again the joy of our salvation. This alone frees our hearts and empowers our giving. Again, the love of Jesus changes our hearts and empowers us to be givers and not just takers. It applies in our homes. It applies in the church. And it's wonderful when we realize the promise that God gives us with our giving. He promises us that our giving of ourselves brings great results. Listen to the text. Paul writes, "The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it's overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, we will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them, with everybody else." What does Paul mean? When we trust and believe the precious gospel of Jesus, it's shown in the way we live our lives and in our giving. And for this, people give thanks to God. Paul also says here that God has a marvelous way of bringing generosity back around so that everybody involved is blessed. One could almost say regarding generosity, what goes around comes around. And sometimes it comes with overflowing, unexpected blessings. In conclusion, let me share with you a story that I came across just a couple of weeks ago that really touched my heart. And illustrates this. Generous in giving means generous in receiving blessings. Some years ago, a poor boy was going door to door selling goods, trying to earn money to pay his way through school. Boy, do I remember those days. I remember going door to door in the prehistoric ages of the 1960s selling packages of seeds to earn money, because our family was poor too. This young boy was going door to door selling goods to pay his way through school. And one day he was very hungry and he decided to ask at the next door he came to for something to eat. But he lost his nerve when a beautiful young woman about his age came and answered the door. So instead of a meal, he kind of stuttered and just asked for a drink of water. She could tell he looked very hungry. So she went back in the home and brought to him a large glass of luscious milk. And he drank it slowly and then asked, "How much do I owe you?" And she said, "You don't owe me anything. My mama taught me never to ask for pay, to accept as an act for a kindness." And all he could say was, "Thank you very much, and I will never forget you." As the boy left that home, he shared that he not only felt stronger physically, but his faith in God and people was renewed. Now, turn the clock up many years later. Some years later, that same young girl, now a grown woman, grew critically ill. The local doctors couldn't handle her case and took her to a big city, to a big hospital, where they called in specialists to look at her disease. And a doctor, Howard Kelly, was called in for the consultation. When he heard her name and the city where she came from, a strange light in her eyes and a smile came upon his face. Immediately, he left his consultation room, went down the hall to her hospital room. Dressed in his doctor's outfit, he went in to see her, and he recognized her at once, although she didn't recognize him. And he went back to his consultation room, determined to do everything he could to save her life. And from that day on, Dr. Howard Kelly gave her special attention. After a long struggle with this disease, the battle was won. And Dr. Kelly requested the business office to pass the final bill onto him for approval, and they did that. He looked at the bill, and then he wrote something on the edge of the bill, and the bill was sent to the woman in the mail. For a long time, she was afraid to open it because she knew it would take the rest of her life to pay for this hospital stay. This happened in the United States. When she finally looked at the bill, Dr. Kelly's handwritten note on the edge of the bill caught her eye. And these are the words she read. "Paid in full with one glass of milk. Dr. Howard Kelly." Wow. My friends, when you and I are led by the Holy Spirit of God to recognize how good God is to us, how abundantly blessed we are, all the blessings of heaven we've got because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, then we will find ourselves with thankful and cheerful hearts. And we can always count on this: the love of Jesus changes our hearts and empowers us to be givers and not just takers. God grant each of us thankful, cheerful, and giving hearts in the name of Jesus. How about a glass of milk? Amen.